Good morning, and welcome to this week's MTC Studio broadcast. My name is Dean Suzuki, and I wanted to welcome you to this week's broadcast on connected communications. Last week, we had a great session and a lot of feedback on people being interested in the Surface Hub, which is our 84-inch and 55-inch touchscreen device built to help enable the modern meeting. And if you have any, if you missed that session, you can also go to our Channel 9 session at aka.ms/mtcstudio9. Some of the pre-roll video you saw today, we highlighted a couple cool devices. One of the ones is this new Surface Book device that we just released. It's a really great device. If you want to take a look at it, you can visit one of our local Microsoft stores and get hands-on with it. It's a really powerful device. It's really built. It has the touch, the half part of the Surface. You can unhook the screen, and the bottom part is the base. It has extra battery and the powerful GPU in there, built for if you have to do high-end applications like CAD or Premiere applications on it. It's really tuned for that. But today we're talking about connected collaboration. But before we jump into all of that, I wanted to go through a couple of logistics. If you have any questions, please feel free to enter it into the IM window or the Q&A manager window on the right-hand side, and we'll be monitoring that throughout the show. And I think that's it. With that, let's get started. I have a guest today I want to bring on board. Well, today I want to welcome my colleague, Mark King. Thanks, Mark, for joining us on today's show. Can you quickly introduce yourself to the audience and let us know where you're coming from? I know where you're coming from, but maybe introduce yourself to the folks remotely.
Yeah, thanks, Dean. My name is Mark King, as you mentioned. I'm a solution architect from our technology center that's based in Detroit, Michigan. So I'm coming to you today from the Eastern time zone.
Well, thanks for joining us, Mark. Why don't we go through the agenda and what we're going to cover here today?
Yeah, great. So I'm really excited to have this discussion today. It's something that I'm passionate about. Dean, you and I do this a lot. We do a demonstration and get our customers excited about the new technologies that we have. And this one specifically, kind of about that connected and collaborative worker and seeing what that, what a productive worker means in today's workforce. So the items that we're going to cover are, I'm going to start the day and how I normally start my day and grab my device and show you how you can be productive like a boss on any device, anywhere you're at. Mm-hmm. After that, we're gonna join some meetings and today it's not just about how you join meetings and how you get access to audio conferences, but it's how you become an active participant. We want to make sure that customers are being active participants in meetings and that they have, that they're not just being presented to, but they are actually being active participants. After that, we're going to dive in and show some of the great new features in our new Office 365 Pro Plus release that we just had about a couple weeks ago. And we're going to show you the real-time document co-authoring available in Word and Excel and PowerPoint and OneNote. And so some really cool functionality that we have in those products. We're going to showcase some of those capabilities today, leveraging that environment as well as OneDrive for Business.
Yeah, I think co-authoring is the key thing that a lot of our customers ask about. So that'll be great to show.
Yeah, I agree. And after we go through co-authoring and that multi-party work that we're going to do, we're going to jump in and showcase one of the things that I'm super excited about, which is Office 365 Groups and how we've really transformed group collaboration with this release of Office 365 and this new feature that we have available. So as we begin to talk about that and as I begin to showcase that, we've really taken the best parts of all of the tools in the Office 365 tool belt and put them into one great product, and we call that our Office 365 Group. I'm excited to show that today.
Yeah, it's funny. My colleague Ali and I, we just had a session yesterday where that was a key item of discussion, this whole group concept. So I can't wait. So why don't you go take us through all this, Mark? Why don't we just go ahead and jump into your demonstration? Is that where we're going to go next?
Yeah, it is. So I'll grab here my iOS device and I'll get started on my day.
So Dean, here I am. I'm here on my iPad. Let's imagine this is a phone or an iPad or whatever device it is. This is my personal device. It's my device that I've chose to use, right? So it's as a iPhone or a mobile phone or an Android device, whatever it is, we've developed some great applications on the Microsoft side that allow us to work remotely and as I said, kind of be more productive like a boss on any mobile device. So here we go. One of my favorite features and capabilities in this environment as I look at, the things I want to do. Of course, I have all the apps that I use most frequently. My most frequent app that I use here on my device is my email and my social networks. So here you'll see on the bottom, I have my Outlook application, which is a great app. We purchased this app about a year ago from Acompli. A brand new update available in the App Store now. It's on Android and iOS, on Windows Phone 10 as well. This great application here take you to this experience that shows you Outlook on the mobile device. So you'll see here, I have a great experience from email. I can do some great things like swiping to delete messages. I can also go over to my calendar, which shows me just a rich view and exactly what I expect to be able to see from a great calendar application within the iPad environment. So I can see a day view, a week view, an agenda view, and get kind of a great experience that I would expect to have. Now, the great thing about this for me is that this email application that we have, this Outlook email application, is a managed application. That it's a managed application by our company. So any of the work that I do in that environment is secure. And from the business environment, if we think about that, when I'm opening and using my business email on this device, that email and that email alone can be selectively wiped from this device in the event that I leave Microsoft or that I lose a device, things like that. So I have the ability to do selective wiping now in the Outlook app, which is phenomenal. All I have to do is enroll that app in my organization to be managed using that company portal application, which is a phenomenal experience. So here along the bottom, continuing along, you'll see I have my Yammer app, of course. Enterprise Social is huge for me. It's kind of has helped reduce my email flow, my email clutter significantly. My next application that I use, and we have a phenomenal update to our Link application for iPad and iOS. And so now we've rebranded that as we've rebranded the rest of the applications as Skype for Business. So really excited about the experience with this Skype for Business application. It's fast. It is super fast when you're either just, you see here we have our kind of instant message discussion that we have going on. It's a very, very clean application. It's very easy for me to come in here and say, "Hey Dean, I'm recording that video here. I am doing the iPad demo." And of course, you probably won't be able to reply to that, but that's okay. So here you'll see that I can do great instant messaging. I also have the ability to see over here on the left-hand side all the upcoming meetings that I have. And I can either search for contacts that I have if I want to instant message somebody. I can also click on a meeting like this, and you'll see there's actually some really cool functionality. So we have one click to join meetings. And so these are all the meetings that we have. So here I have my one-on-ones that I have, and I have my prep for customer service. And when I click on that button, you'll see it actually takes me directly into that meeting. It takes me to that meeting for a great meeting experience where I'm not just a person that's joining an audio conference. That's one of the biggest differences that you'll see with this Skype for Business application versus leveraging legacy kind of audio conferencing services, Dean. And it's the fact that when I'm in this meeting, you'll see that I have a whole bunch of things. And of course, if I'm driving down the road, this will connect to my Bluetooth in my car so I can be safe and be secure and not really have to worry about any of those things. It connects and I can have a great audio conference. People can actually see that I'm a participant in this meeting, so you can actually see the participants that are in the meeting. You can mute them, of course. I can mute myself by just clicking on that little button at the bottom, and you see I've just muted myself. I can also click on the button to add video. So here we go. I'm just adding some video here into the meeting, and you can see here and there's the desk that I was working at earlier today. So, just a great experience from whether you're joining audio, video, as well as any content. So if I join a meeting that has content in there, very, very easy to join. If I want to add people to the call, right, it's very simple. Again, one click, add people to a meeting. I can search for people, add them to the meeting. I can also do a whole bunch of different things. I can add a dial pad so we can call out to somebody's cell phone or a landline phone number or a desk phone. And this, of course, works as part of our Office 365 service. So this is all a native capability in the service, a great feature and a great product, a great update to the Link application that we had available on iOS. I'm gonna go ahead and end that call. And so now that I've been able to be very, very productive, join my meetings from any device, again, whether this is my iPad or my iPhone or my Android device or my Windows device, whether I'm driving down the road, right, and I have great 4G LTE connectivity, or I'm in my office with Wi-Fi, Or if I don't have very good cell phone connectivity and I only have, the ability to maybe join via a dial-in capability, this tool has that built in natively to it. The next thing I'm going to show you is the kind of taking it from one place where you can get email to now, we talk about email as a quote unquote collaboration tool. We all know that email is probably, pretty much the antithesis of collaboration. You send around an attachment or you send around an email. You don't really know if people are working on it, people have seen it, people have read it, things like that. So what you have here also is our great OneDrive application. So one of the things that we've done here with the OneDrive application is, again, we've allowed this application to be managed by the company. So you have OneDrive, right, which is a personal storage solution that's available for anybody that has a Hotmail account or an Outlook account, really we call a Microsoft account. So you can sign up for that. Here I'm going to touch again to log in, and there we go. I've actually just logged in to my application just using my touch using the Touch ID on the device. But we've actually taken this application and we have two tools really. OneDrive, which is your personal environment, which I was mentioning, and we have OneDrive for Business. That OneDrive for Business piece is that enterprise grade, that file sharing, syncing, and storage solution that you can now use to share and collaborate with people with a single source of the truth. So I like to think about OneDrive as my personal, and I like to think about OneDrive for Business as my personal work content. So if you think about things that you normally have had in your H drive or your home directory or your My Documents, or heaven forbid, the files on your desktop, this is where those files belong. One of the best things about that you'll see here, I'm gonna click on the little thing on the side, the little hamburger menu, and you'll see that I actually have three accounts on here. So I have my marketing at Microsoft.com, I have my personal Outlook account, and then I have a test account that we have here in the Technology Center. But switching between these accounts is super easy. I just click on one thing and it jumps between these two environments. Now that seems like it's just a small thing, right? A small jump from that personal to the enterprise. But the important thing for businesses, for security and for data protection and data leakage protection, is that when I switch that context, when I jump between personal and consumer, when I make that leap, what I'm actually doing is I'm jumping into a corporate context that now, if I jump into my business email or my business OneDrive, what happens there is that I mentioned that's managed by the company. So again, in the event that I lose my device or I no longer work for the company, that environment can be pulled off that device. I can also require strict capabilities on the environment. So what I can't do in many instances is if I look over here and I'm currently in my business context. So if I go and I want to grab some files or some content here from inside this environment, what will actually happen is I can take and copy and paste all that I'd like as long as I'm doing it within that business container. So if I want to take a file from my OneDrive for Business and send it in my personal email, I can't do that. Our company can put restrictions on the fact that I can't not just copy and paste attachments, but actually attach content from within those files. So if I look at our Word document here that we have here, the proposal that we're going to be working on here, Dean, as I look at those files and I want to take that content and maybe copy and paste it because maybe I want to use it later on, and I'm just going to post it in my personal OneDrive for Business, we actually prevent that from happening. And not just the file itself, but the content in the file. You can't take screenshots of it. Really, the only thing that you could do is kind of grab your camera and take a picture of the data that's in there. Again, we're trying with this solution to for the most part, to keep the honest people honest. So again, OneDrive and OneDrive for Business, one application, again, on the iOS platform, on Android, on Windows, just a great experience. And with our next generation synchronization tool coming out very soon, we're really excited about the capabilities on the PC and Mac as well. So as I kind of finish up my day on my device, of course I have the rest of my tools that I can use. I'm going to show some of those on the PC though. So it's time for me to head into the office. I made it to the office for the day. I've been in my meetings on the road, been very productive on my mobile device, and so now I'm going to jump over to my PC here.
So Dean, we just came out. I was on the road and I had my mobile device and I was able to connect and join Skype for Business meetings quickly and easily using one click to join on my device. It's fast. I can connect over my 3G or 4G or Wi-Fi connections, as I mentioned. And then after that, we were having this conversation. We were able to join video and I was able to see content from my mobile device, and it was a great experience. after the call, I did some checking. As you saw, I kind of went into my OneDrive for Business, which is a secure container for all of my enterprise work content. I was able to view my documents, edit my documents in real time using the Word, Excel, and PowerPoint applications that are on the iOS, Android, and Windows platforms. So I had that great mobile experience, but I'm not always a mobile worker, right? When I come into the office or when I'm at home, as I am today, you know, I want to have that same ability to have access to my files, to be a productive worker kind of wherever I'm at, be that kind of connected employee that we've been talking about. So as I come into my PC and I see I have a couple of things that I'm working on. So here's my confidential proposal here sitting on my desktop that you and I are going to want to work on. Of course, this is probably a really bad location for it to be because it's not a place where we can collaborate on that. So I'm gonna start. I mentioned when we were on the road, when I was on the road, that I was gonna ping you when I got in the office. So I'm gonna do that. Here I'm just gonna search for you. There you are. I see that you're in a conference call, but I know that's just between you and I. This is a call that we're on right now to record this. But I'm just gonna click on this instant message button, and I'm gonna send you a quick message, Nadine. And just by sending that message, right, I'm able to see that you got some toast that popped up on your screen. It said, you know, hi, Dean, it had my message. You can reply to that or not. And I also have some additional modalities available to me. So you'll see I have the ability to add some video to this call. I can make it an audio call, or I can present my screen. So once we actually establish this connection, so I'm actually just going to start a quick video call here. One of my favorite things that I can do, one of the cool things about this is that before I actually even start my video, what you see on the screen here is a preview of my video. So before I click on the start my video button, I can click on the preview and I can make sure, you know, I'm working from home. So of course, you know, when you're working from home, you have your business on top and your pajamas on the bottom, right? So not today, but, you know, that is typically what happens when people will do work from home. So you see here, I can check and make sure I don't have anything on my teeth and, you know, my hair and everything behind me looks fine. So I can go ahead and start my video. Again, really easy to do and really easy to have a great immersive experience with that. From video conferencing, you can easily share your desktop, you can easily share instant messages, and then including other people into the meeting is super easy as well. So if I want to invite additional participants to the meeting, I can just click on the link to add additional participants, or I can go into my Skype window and find other people and simply drag and drop them into the meeting experience. It's super easy to do that. Whether it's people or conference room devices. So you'll see here I have this device, which is actually one of our new Surface Hub devices. And this device is, again, this is an immersive room-based video conferencing system that I can then take and, again, drag and drop into this ad hoc call that you and I are on, Dean. So it's a really great experience to go from just a two-party call to a multi-party call, whether that's scheduled or ad hoc. Just a great experience. In addition to that, you know, one of the things that I do quite a bit is I want to co-author documents. I don't want to just work with you, Dean, by doing things in kind of a disconnected fashion. We have this proposal that we need to work on with our customer. Again, this is this confidential document that I've been working on. It's sitting on my PC. As I open it up in Microsoft Word, right, you'll see, oh, it's a very, very confidential document. It has a lot of confidential things in there, see, as you can see. So this is the new version of Word. This is Word 2016, and we deliver this to our customers that are Office 365 subscribers through a simple update to their existing version of Office. We call it Office 365 Pro Plus. And so one of the great features, one of the things that I love the most about this version of the product, Dean, is the integrated sharing and the integrated co-authoring in the desktop clients. It's huge for me. But again, I saved this document on my desktop. That's probably not a good location for it, because how are you going to gain access to that document? It's on my hard drive. So that's the first thing that I'll see is when I click on this little share button, it's going to say, hey, to collaborate with others, please save a copy to your of your file to an online location. So I can either do it that way, or since I'm leveraging the OneDrive for Business application, you'll see that I have this this file explorer view because I've decided to synchronize this folder to my workstation. So what you'll see here is that I have my OneDrive right here that says OneDrive-Microsoft, and my other OneDrive right here that says OneDrive Personal. So my personal stuff, this is important. This is an important differentiator. So this OneDrive Personal is my own personal content. It's linked to my Outlook.com account or my Hotmail account, and it's my personal kind of home stuff, things that I've shared outside of business, things that I've shared outside the environment, you know, with other people. You'll also see here that I have my OneDrive Microsoft. And the OneDrive Microsoft is my OneDrive for Business. And this should be thought of as your personal work content. So all those things that you normally have either put in your kind of home directory or your shared folders kind of in your home directory or on your My Documents on your machine, or hopefully not, but you know, like me, if you're, you know, a non-collaborative worker in this setting, right, and I have this document on my PC, it's not a collaborative workspace. So I can actually easily take this document and move it to my OneDrive by just dragging and dropping that document. So as I move that document over into my OneDrive for Business, that document is now available. So I can either show it to you that way. Again, I can save this file to the cloud using this way as well. So one of the things that you'll notice is when I save to the cloud, and so I'm in Word again, this works in Word or Excel or PowerPoint. As I hit save to the cloud, I can select some different locations. You'll see I have my OneDrive Microsoft, right, which is that same exact location. So here I can select that I want to save this document here. So here I see that document. I can give it a different name because this is a pretty bad name. I'll say Dean and Mark proposal for customer A. I'm going to hit save here. So that document is going to save up into our Office 365 environment, into the OneDrive for Business environment. It's actually doing some things behind the scenes. I don't if you noticed, it was checking some policies there. And those policies that it was checking are things to do things like identify if that document has any restrictions to it. So if that document has any confidential information in there, any personal identifiable information that is against our corporate policy, it's going to actually prevent it from being shared. So now that I've done that, this sharing pane now lights up, right? And so as I look at this, I can now see, yeah, I can invite some people to this document. And Dean, I think this is a great place to select that we're going to invite you. So we're going
to. Yeah, it sounds like we need to work on that document.
Absolutely.
We have a little more content to add.
Have a little bit. So here you are, Dean Suzuki. I'm going to give you edit rights because I want to edit with you on this document. I can include a message. This is the document we were talking about on the call this morning. Okay, and I can hit the share button. So it's just that easy to now collaborate in real time. So if you think about previously how you had to do that in other solutions or other tools, of course I would save this file. I'd save it to a location. Maybe I'd save it to a cloud service as well. But then I'd have to go to that cloud service and now send that to your email as a link. And now actually, when I shared this document with you, it shows up in a number of different places. You of course got an email for that. It also shows up in your OneDrive for Business as documents that are shared with you. So you don't have to keep that email, of course, because if you look at my email is kind of I keep very few things in there. It's kind of my task list of things that I'm gonna do. So as we get that document and as you get that document, I can actually see when you open that document, now I see that you have edit rights to that. I can do things like remove your rights by simply right-clicking on that and removing user. I can change your permission to view rights. But you'll see, as I see you in this document, and as you begin to open this document, I actually see the rights, or I can see the communication mechanism that we have as well. So I know that we're already in an instant message, but what if I didn't want to jump into the Skype for Business application to start up that IM? I can do that all right from within this app. I can highlight over you, I can highlight the instant message or the call button and do that all very natively in the application. So that's a great way of communicating and collaborating with each other. I'll wait for you to get that document here a second, but as we do that, you know, as I mentioned, we want to work together in a team, and it's not just you and I, Dean, but maybe a larger group of us. And this is one of the greatest features. It's a new feature in Office 365. It's called Office 365 Groups. And what Groups allow us to do is to create a great collaborative space leveraging the best of all technologies. So I'm going to show you that right now. So here you'll see all the different groups that I'm a part of. I'm a part of a couple of different community groups. You'll see the Detroit Microsoft Technology Center group that I'm part of, and of course our worldwide MTC community group that we have right here. You know, none of these groups really fit the need of this customer and of the situation that we want to go through. So I'm actually going to create this, click on this button that says Create Group. And I'm doing this today through the Outlook web app experience, but I can also show you that the same experience is here on the Outlook client. So here I'm in the Outlook client, and as I scroll down to the bottom of the Outlook client, I'm gonna see these same exact groups And the same way to interface with them is in the Outlook client, is in the thick client. So as I right click on that, I can select a new group. And it's a very easy way for me to create groups and stay connected wherever I'm at. Okay, back to the group creation. So this tells me kind of real quickly what I'm doing here. So a group provides a space for shared conversation, files, and group calendar. So that's great. When it talks about shared conversations, this is important. You know, when we talk about Office 365, there are a lot of great features in the product. Email, calendaring, of course, the shared services with OneDrive for Business. We talk about all the different functionality that we have in products like Delve and some other things that we'll showcase later on. And of course, our social tool Yammer. So this product right here, what we call Groups, actually takes some of the best pieces of all those tools and binds them together. So we're gonna create a group and we're gonna call it Dean and Mark. So actually right on the browser here, I'm just gonna say create a group, give it a name, Dean and Mark. And it's gonna give us a group ID already. It's gonna actually find that group ID and find what's available for us. I can change what that group ID is. My organization has the rights to put in some controls into maybe what types of groups, what groups should be named, and if there's a workflow process there as well. I can give it a description if I'd like to. I can, of course, change some privacy. So by default, all groups are public. So that means anyone can see what's inside the group. I can also change that really easily, of course, between a public and a private group. I can do it now or after the group is created as well. I'm actually going to create a private group. Dean, this is going to be a proposal that you and I are working on. It's for a customer. It may contain some data in there that's sensitive pricing information. I just want to make sure that this stays between the people that we invite to the group or the people that we approve to be in there. And now I can choose the language as well. So of course, as I select this drop-down box, this is the language for any group-related notifications that people will get. So these are gonna be all the different languages that are available in the Office 365 suite. You'll see that there's a significant number of them. So as we pop that open. Really easy to finish that, so I just hit the Create button. As it's gonna do, it's gonna create that group. What this is doing is it's creating this group full of, it's gonna create a OneDrive location for our shared files. It's gonna create a calendar and a conversation using Yammer and using our Exchange capabilities. So again, very easy. Now I can add members. I'm gonna add Dean to this group. Because Dean, hey, you and I are working on it. So I'm gonna select add. It's gonna add those members. You're gonna get an invite, and it's actually automatically gonna show up here in our little group. So here I see this Dean and Mark group. This is really cool. So now I can go into here and I can customize this however I want to. Again, this group has some capabilities to it that I'm gonna showcase here kind of throughout the rest of the discussion. So here I can add a picture to it if I wanted to, if we wanted to add a cool little picture. I think I'm fine with a little DE for right now. That's just fine for me, but we can add a cool little picture like you see we did here for the Detroit MTC one. It's just a little icon that you'd have. I can start a group conversation. So in here I can say, hi Dean, and of course the rest of the team. Let's use this area to have a persistent communication. So one of the differences here, as I start that conversation here, one of the differences between this conversation here and something like an email conversation is that you have to think about what happens in email. I send her an email, I send it to 5, 10, 15, 20, 100 people. Whatever happens to that after I sent it, I really don't know unless I get some feedback from those people. Do I know that you read it, Dean? Do I know that, do I really know anything about that conversation? I don't, right? So in addition to that, once somebody deletes that message, or if they move it to a folder, it's not top of mind anymore. So here, I have this conversation, and this conversation is going on, so I can see that. In addition to that, anybody that joins this group later on can get quickly brought up to speed on all the conversations in a very social way. So the way to think about this is that we're taking those social aspects that we have with our Yammer and our enterprise social capabilities and including those into a persistent group conversation. You'll see that there are capabilities like liking or replying or replying to the group. And you don't have to be afraid to hit the reply all button like you do in email, right? Dean, I'm sure you always love it when people hit the reply all button. So you can see I can subscribe to this. What subscribing will do will receive conversations and events, all of those in my inbox versus me having to go down here. So you'll see the difference here as I look at the MTC UC community. It has that little badge next to it of 2, where all these other ones don't have any. So I've been brought up to speed on these other groups. So of course, gotta like the message. You have that social aspects of liking it as well. There's been some new activity, it pops up and it kind of tells you what's going on in your group. So again, that's the subscribing capabilities. You'll also see here that there is a calendar. There's the different members that I can view and add additional people to the group. There's the files associated. There's a great OneNote notebook. Dean, this is one of my favorite features. You know, OneNote is one of our products that we've had that's probably one of the most collaborative products at Microsoft. And OneNote notebooks are meant to be shared and meant to be collaborated on with teams and group members. I'm a member of a number of different OneNote notebooks, and this is truly the way that I collaborate with an organization. Planning, connectors, and other things as well. So some management that I can do on here to add this or subscribe it as my favorite. Editing the group details, leaving the group, of course, is an option as well. So I'm going to leave this alone here for a second. And Dean, you and I are working on this proposal. So let's go over to that proposal document. I'm going to pull it up now in Word Online. I showed it to you in Word on the desktop and how you can see that people are editing and viewing in real time. Well, hey, you can do that same thing on the Word in the browser. So this is using, as you see at the top here, Word Online. So we have online versions of all of our Office components. So whether it's Word or Excel or PowerPoint or OneNote, you can access those all from a browser. In any browser. You'll see today I'm using Microsoft Edge, our new browser that comes with Windows 10. And I have a great set of rich capabilities that I can use to edit this document and create this document. Whether you know I want to go over here and insert some pictures or insert a table that you and I are working on, you'll see that we're able to view and edit this document. Oh, and by the way, I see this little thing popped up in the corner. It says Dean Suzuki is editing this document. So I can see here that two other people are editing this document. Dean, I think you have it open in your office. And Word as well, but it doesn't really matter. I see that one of them you're editing online, one of them you're editing offline. So now I can see in real time who's actually working on the document. So document sharing is awesome, I agree. And whether you're editing and changing one sentence, I can actually go through here and as you're making changes, make the same changes as well. So real time streaming, co-authoring, it's a fantastic experience that you have with your colleagues as you're working on documents. For me, when you're working on proposals, when you're working on documents in real time, This is huge. Now, whether this is a Word document or an Excel document or a PowerPoint, as I mentioned, OneNote, you have all these features all built in. So a really, really fantastic experience. Now, if you need something, and you know, I'm a heavy user of Excel. So if I'm in an Excel document and I need to create a pivot table, or I need to create some slicers, or I need to do some statistical analysis to that Excel document. Those aren't features that you're going to have yet available in the Office Online applications. But again, this is great for those for that light viewing and editing and modifying and creation of documents right within here. And that same button that you had, that share button on the Word document on the Word desktop client, you have the ability to share right from this as well. So let's kind of put these two things together. I talked about groups. I talked about documents. Now, these documents need to be available in the groups that we need to use them in as well. That's important. So you'll see here, I have this button over here that says Files. And as I click on Files, one of the things that it's going to do is it's going to open up a OneDrive for Business location. So it will take a few minutes for it to finish setting up that environment. So as we do that, as it sets up this environment, we're going to keep on going here in the rest of the demo. So you'll see here I have those conversations. I had Files, which I showed you, and that'll be set up here in just a few minutes. I have this calendar environment as well. So this is a shared calendar. So you'll see in here I have things like my calendar, and I can overlay that, or I have our calendar for our group. And Dean, I can go into here real easily and create calendar appointments. Let's say, you know, at 1 o'clock today, I want to have this discussion. And let's do a discussion with customer on proposal. I know that's getting a little short on time here. We only have a little bit of time to create this proposal for our customer, but we're going to make it. I guarantee it. So I'm going to set the date, time, and you'll see at the top here, and I'm doing this in the browser for a reason. I want to show you the rich capabilities, whether you're a browser user or whether you're a desktop client user. All I have to do to add that online meeting functionality that I showed you before with Skype for Business on my mobile device and on my PC is click on this Add Skype Meeting button. So it's going to get all the information necessary and add that automatically into the meeting. So you'll see here it says join online meeting. I have join by phone numbers, whether it's a local toll number or whether it's a toll-free number. I have the ability to do that, and it's all built in now to Office 365 in our new suite that we'll be talking about in just a minute. So it's pretty easy to add. I can categorize this, again, getting that color mixture, things like that, if I do those categorizations on a meeting, and I'm just going to click on the Save button. Once I save that, it's not in my calendar, Dean. It's not in your calendar. It's in the group's calendar. So wherever I want to view that, whether it's from my desktop client, again, because now I'm a member of this group, I can see things like the calendars from my groups, or if I want to view that from Outlook, right? So here I'm going to go into my Outlook. I see, oh, look at that. Here's that Dean and Mark conversation, or that Dean and Mark group. I see, oh, you. Here we go. We have a meeting invite. Here's all the information I need for that meeting invite. So it's really easy to view, really easy to add that. And I can also click on this button to view to my calendar. I can add it to my calendar as well. You'll see right here with that little checkbox. So whether it's conversations, whether it's the files, whether it's the calendar, right, for the group, it's very, very easy on the desktop clients and the web clients to have access to your stuff. So as we were talking, that file location finished up. So here, I'm going to hit the take me to Dean and Mark files. So Dean, you know, we're working on this Word document. I'm actually going to close that document. And, you know, here's one of the things that I love about this solution with OneDrive for Business. You know, I have this document sitting on my PC, and I showed you how I could drag and drop it, of course, into a file location on my OneDrive for Business. But, you know, what if I'm on my home PC, or what if I'm on a Mac, or what if I'm on a different device that maybe I don't have that synchronization client enabled on? So if I want to do that, I can quickly and easily find those files that I want. And so here's that document that we've been working on. I'm gonna take the updated version of that, and I'm just going to copy it over here just for a temporary purpose. And I'm going to take that, and I can actually drag and drop that file. So you see I'm just hovering over the file. I'm just dragging and dropping it. People know how to do this. People know how to drag and drop. People know how to cut and paste very easily. So just drag and drop that file up into my web browser. You'll see it's uploading that one file. And now that file is now available in our group. So what does that mean? Now this file can be shared and collaborated on with anybody that's a member of that group. They can now access that file. It's not just in my OneDrive location where I maintain and I manage that access. It's available there for everyone. So a great web-based. Yeah, exactly. I do, Dean. I think about you know, how we used to collaborate with each other. There was email distribution groups. There's enterprise social tools like Yammer. There's SharePoint team sites. There's, I mentioned email distribution lists. There's, I hate to even say it, but there's public folders, right, where people used to go and put files and calendar items. You know, we did all those things because those were the tools that were available to us at the time. What Office 365 Groups enables us to do is say, we're going to take the best of all those products and put them together. The best of calendaring, and that, you know, that's a piece of Exchange, but we don't care. We're going to put that into groups. The best of email, we're going to put into groups. The best of social collaboration, liking conversations, persistent conversation, we're going to put them in groups. The best capabilities in file shares, right, with file synchronization, storing, and sharing with OneDrive, we're going to add those to groups. And so all that great functionality is now built into one solution that allows you as an end user, right, to now not have to go to IT to say, hey, I need this collaboration site. I need this place where I can go to work with my colleagues. I need these capabilities. And also, to me, Dean, I love that you say it's there for groups, but it's there for groups on any device that they choose. So when I leave and I grab my phone and I pull up my Office 365 Groups app that's available on iOS, Android, Windows, and I open up my groups, I see the groups that I have access to. I see the files, the conversations, and everything all from within one app. So it's a really great experience for your end users. So now let's switch over to security a little bit. As I start to think about the tools and the capabilities in our tool belt, I think it's really important to think about the security and privacy that our customers have, that they trust us with when they put their data in the cloud in Office 365 and in our other cloud solutions. You know, we've been doing this for a long time in the consumer space, and we've been doing it for a long time in the enterprise space. And if there's one core tenet of our solution, it's the trust of our customers in securing their data. Beyond just the trust of our customers in securing their data, the important thing that we need to help our customers do is help them help their end users not get tricked by things like phishing attacks. and help them create an environment where their users that receive email feel comfortable about opening those files and opening attachments. So one of the things that we've seen happen quite a bit in the past is these new phishing attacks or these new attacks, which Dean, if somebody were to send from the outside an email with an attachment, or let's just start with a link on it. This happens all the time. You get those emails from supposedly from your bank. Maybe it's a bank that you don't even go to anymore, but they say that your email address or your account is expired. And there's always a horrible spelling in there. And then there's a threat or something. And but people, all they think about is the emotion that they get when they see an email like that. And they think of, hey, that, you know, that email that I received says that if I don't go and click on this button and type in my username and password, then I'm going to lose access to my account or something's going to happen. So there's an emotional piece that goes in with that. So one of the things that we want to do here is we want to help prevent and make sure that the access to those links and access to the emails that people receive are valid. So what happens a lot of time now, Dean, I don't know if you've seen this in your environment, but in your personal space or in your customers, is that an email will come in and it will get past the anti-malware or anti-spam filters because it was a legit link. And then after the fact, that link is changed and it now is a site that is not, you know, that is a vulnerable site that it can actually infect your machines. So we see this a lot. And so what customers have been asking for is that we support at time of click, right? So if a message gets through like that, that at time of click, when a customer or an end user clicks on that document, that we provide some safeguarding to make sure that their machine doesn't become infected. So I'm going to show you. I received this email from Tripit just today, just a few minutes ago. So one of the things that you'll see in here is that all the links that I have here don't actually go directly to their location. So as I hover over this one, you'll see that the URL is https://na01.safelinks.protection.outlook.com. This is using some new functionality in our advanced threat protection capabilities that actually looks at the links in this document and at time of execution, not at the time that the email was sent into the environment, but at the time that I click on this, it's not going to open up directly, for this example, right to the App Store. But you'll see in here it has a long string of characters in here. And at the time of execution, the Office 365 Advanced Threat Protection environment is going to check and make sure that that link is a secure link. So that when our end users receive those phishing threats or those phishing emails, when they click on it, they'll just get a nice big red thing in the browser that says that you were protected and that you were protected from going to a site that was potentially malicious. Okay, so that's important to help not just protect, but help your end users understand what they did and how they could prevent it in the future. So a great feature, it's part of our advanced threat protection. There's one more feature, but Dean, have you seen this in your customers?
Yes, I think this is one of the biggest threat vectors that our customers are being affected by today. In fact, you know, in Southern California, we had a big entertainment customer. The feeling is maybe this is one of the attack vectors that the attackers got in. Is how can you guarantee that all 100,000 employees in your companies don't click a bad email like you just did here, right? You can't really guarantee that.
You know, and Dean, it only takes one, right? You've heard about threat vectors and attack surfaces like pass the hash and pass the ticket, right? We've done some things in Windows 10. We'll talk about those in a different session. We've done some things in Windows 10 to help prevent, again, pass the hash and pass the ticket. But there's things that we need to do on the email side, right? Just this small feature, Dean, you're absolutely right. Whether you have 100 users that you need to instruct or 100,000 users, tools like this are invaluable. But it's not just links. It's also attachments. You know, however up-to-date your antivirus solutions are, however up-to-date your antivirus services in the cloud are that do anti-spam and anti-malware, there are always those zero-day attacks. Those zero-day attacks are scary, right? Those are the ones that they're either not patched, your desktop isn't patched, or there's no update that's released to patch your machines. So as we think about that, we think, you know, from a Microsoft perspective, we thought about how we could help and how we could remove that attack surface for attachments. And so what we did, again, as part of that advanced threat protection capability, in Office 365 is we added the ability to take those attachments as they're being sent in and not just look at those from an existing antivirus and anti-malware capability, not just look at the exact, you know, what the fingerprints are in the database that you have today, but we're actually going to spin those up, spin those attachments up in a virtual machine, attempt to execute those, and identify what it's doing, what those attachments are doing against your operating system. And so if that, if we identify that that attachment has some malicious code in there, work and it doesn't meet, it doesn't match what your existing antivirus solutions have in place today, we'll be able to isolate that because we've been able to view what that has done against the computer and against the registry and against the environment. That helps us from an understanding of helping to identify any vulnerabilities kind of for future use. It also, again, just a huge advantage for our customers that are leveraging advanced threat protection. So saving people from clicking on links and saving email attachments that may be malicious from making it into the environment. Two very, very important things that we have now included with our advanced threat protection capabilities. So before I jump out of the demo, one last thing I want to show you. I created that this Dean and Mark proposal review calendar item. You'll notice I'm a little late for it, 50 minutes overdue. One of the great things I wanted to show you, one of my favorite things that we've done to the Outlook client and to our web clients, is we've extended the Outlook reminders here. So you just see this join online button. So with one click, it joins me to that meeting, and I'm able to join, have audio, video, content sharing, document co-authoring, all from within that one click.
Oh, thanks, Mark. I know he was remote, but I know there was a lot of feedback there. Sorry for the, I noticed there was a lot of questions on the audio video piece. We're gonna go ahead and look into that. I don't know if we had a network challenge between us, but we're gonna go ahead and look into that. I'm sorry again about, apologize for the audio video communications there. We actually reset the stream, and we'll see if that helped a little bit. But just to summarize, also we'll make this available via the recording, via our Channel 9 site. I'll post it up at the end. But just to summarize what Mark kind of showed, and he was remote, so he didn't see all the IMs going back and forth, but he showed it initially about the Office mobile client, being able to be productive anywhere. With the iPad client, there was a question about the Skype for mobile on the Android, and that's coming out later this year. And we posted a link in the Q&A for that as well. He also showed a lot of things about being productive in the office with the co-authoring, the smart attachments, being able to simultaneously edit and work on a document, a Word document, Excel, PowerPoint, with your team so that people can be working on the same piece of content. And we do that a lot at Microsoft when we have presentations to build. For example, Mark and I were working on this deck. The smart attachments piece is really nice. In the past, you might have emailed a file out to a group of folks. And now, when you upload and you try to email that attachment, Outlook will say, hey, do you want to send a link to that attachment? And as Mark showed you, it can send the link. But the thing about that is that link points back to the same file on OneDrive. So now people are all editing the same copy of the file in one location. And then he also showed us the group capability. More and more project teams are working as groups, and they're geographically spread across multiple geographies. And with the group capability, that it really helps enable that capability as well. And then, you know, all the different Skype for Business communications. We use that a lot in Microsoft to collaborate with folks remotely. And then just finishing up, we also invested a lot of effort into helping our clients be secure with the mobile application management. Mark touched upon that at the beginning. I'm not sure if that came across, but being able to conditionally protect the corporate data on the device. So we can actually prevent users from copying information from corporate apps into personal apps by putting together this walled garden approach and containers on the mobile devices. And then he talked about at the end the advanced threat protection that we're enabling in the service with safe attachments and safe linking. As Mark mentioned, a lot of the new malware that's coming out is zero-day malware where there's no protections or definitions yet built. So our safe attachments capability will be able to put those kind of potentially malicious files into what we call our detonation chamber to see what kind of actions they might perform so we can actually protect our customers against the zero-day attacks. And then the safe linking, being able to, what we're seeing is a lot of phishing attacks coming in where users are unaware of the attacks. So by enabling safe linking, we can rewrite those links and check the validity of those links at the time of point of click. So we can help protect our customers with that as well. I know we're running low on time, but again, I wanted to thank everyone for joining. Just a couple calls to action. We have some additional webinars coming up. The Modern Workplace webinar, you can go see that at aka.ms/modernworkplace. If you want to get hands-on experience with these technologies, you can sign up for what we call an immersion experience, where we set up an environment where you can get hands-on working through these capabilities. Also, if you want to get access to the mobile apps, you can go to aka.ms/office-mobile. And the last piece is that we'll be posting the recording of this session and also all of our past sessions at our MTC Studio site. If you go to the MTC, aka.ms/MTC Studio, you can register for an upcoming session. Or if you go to Studio 9, that's our Channel 9 site, I'll be posting the recording of this session up to the Channel 9 site. Again, I'm sorry for the video choppiness that might have been happening, but everything was clear on our side, so I'm not sure where the challenge is there, but we'll be posting the recording up there so that you'll be able to see the entire session without interruption there. With that, I wanted to say thank you for joining and have a great Thanksgiving. We're going to take a break, and we'll be coming back in December talking about our data platform. Have a great weekend, guys, and holidays. We'll see you in December.